Spin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Welcome to Backspin Golf right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. We have a great show today. First, I just want to talk for a second about this day and this date. As we all know, 15 years ago today, on 9/11, I was in New York City. I was about two blocks away from the World Trade Centers when the attack happened. And so this is kind of a rough day for me every year, as it is for most Americans. My memories, even though it's 15 years, are very vivid and will always be very vivid of the things that I saw that day. Today, I'm going to play golf today, and that's going to be great. But although I remember this day 15 years ago, every day almost, some days more than others, today it'll be a good time to be out on the golf course with some friends and just kind of reflecting about all the freedoms that we have. Things like playing golf whenever you want to because of our continuing fight that we go through daily now, all of us here in this country. As I said, we have a great show today. A few weeks ago, we spoke with a gentleman named Michael Gallagher from Northern Ireland, as he was getting ready to embark on a series of five tournaments for junior golfers all across Ireland. That series has been wrapped up, and we're going to speak with Michael Gallagher. He's in Northern Ireland. Still amazes me that we can do this. And talk to him about how those series of the Irish Junior Open ended up and the tremendous work he does for kids with the game of golf. And then Dottie Pepper, CBS golf analyst, ESPN golf analyst, former great LPGA player, will join us, and we'll get her thoughts on some things that have happened already this summer and maybe the Ryder Cup coming up. Perry French will join me, as he always does. Thanks for listening here on this somber day here. Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Ryder Cup, Ryder Cup.
It's
sometimes
we're closing in on it.
Sometimes I scare myself.
I know.
Anyway, hi Perry French.
Good day.
Cleveland Golf, Strix on Golf, my guy. And I want to say thank you to you from the bottom of my heart. You many times in this is the fourth year of the show that we've been doing this together. Many times I have asked you and Strixon to help me with different charitable endeavors, and you have never failed to say sure. And once again, I want to thank you, Randy Maynard and our Kentucky United Methodist Home for Children and Youth Golf Scramble coming up. Once again, I asked you if we could get some balls to use as prizes, and you came through again, so thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. We're glad to help you do the things you do in the community as well, all the events that you're involved with. So good to be a part of it. It's always nice to be able to help out those who need some help. And
you're wonderful people, you and Strix on Golf.
Well, it's good to be
anyway, all right, enough
thanks.
Of this. Enough of this stuff. Let's get to what seems to be the biggest topic in the world of sports, if you're a golfer, and that's the Ryder Cup.
For good reason?
Yeah. Now, we have the guys. The European team was picked a while ago. But the American team now, we're waiting because we still have, what, a week to go before the tour championship, and Davis Love gets to withhold making the pick until the end of the Sunday night. And hey, the Ryder Cup's the starts that week. This is called the Billy Horschel rule or the hot hand rule,
right?
Because in 2014, here's a guy that makes a run through the FedEx Cup, wins the tour championship, and can't be on the Ryder Cup team because they had already picked a team. So now, to try to stack the deck for us a little more, we're going to wait until the Sunday night, and then on Friday they're going to play the Ryder Cup.
The mission to win from the Ryder Cup task force.
They better do something.
Eight of the last 10 have been won by the European side, so it's definitely a criteria that, again, they've got the rules changed in place, and we'll see how that shakes out. Hot hand, for all intents and purposes, being that it's going to be the following week, has a lot of merit to that aspect. But if that player has not played in a Ryder Cup, like Billy Horschel had not participated in a Ryder Cup,
right?
Hot hand
may not be
adrenaline, nerves, and not having been there before, and in that scenario, may not be the secret sauce.
Oh, good one.
You know?
but it's a really interesting discussion because these guys face unbelievable pressure every week.
Right.
They're on the PGA Tour.
Winning the FedEx Cup is certainly...
And you win the FedEx, you think, okay, this guy... But isn't it amazing? They're human beings.
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah. And there is nothing like the Ryder Cup. I put up a picture about 10 days ago on Twitter when we were 30 days out from the Ryder Cup, or however many days ago it was. And it was a shot of the first tee at Hazeltine and the stands at the first tee.
Right.
Nobody's there. It was early in the morning. It was beautiful. You look at the stand. Have you seen a picture of this?
Mm-hmm.
The stands that have been built.
Right.
Then on Twitter, I watched the video from Ian Poulter and Bubba getting ready to hit their first tee shots in their match.
Mm-hmm.
And then both
waving to the crowd,
the crowd to pick
make
it
noise,
up. And
make noise while they're hitting.
I mean, so if
unlike any other,
if you
event.
Haven't played in the Ryder Cup, like you said, this is a whole different ballgame.
And the format is what it is. It's match play. It's team match play. It's alternate shot.
It's
and
Dennis
yes,
singles.
Yeah, I think part of the camaraderie piece that is the Ryder Cup that we all allude to, that the Europeans have outfoxed us in this camaraderie piece.
Right.
They really haven't. They just have had the same players over the course of a lot of years for good reason. They've continued to be those players. They have the continuity with some captaincies. That always helps.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a style and a comfort.
Culture.
Yeah.
It's a culture.
We've been over the map with our captains and back and forth. And even though Davis, the collapse in Chicago, Medina, he probably should have been the captain for the next Ryder Cup and not go off the train tracks with Tom Watson and led to what is Eagles.
Careful. So, I got in trouble for my thoughts on Tom Watson last time because apparently he's an American icon and you can't say anything about it.
Well, he was part of the problem. I'm sorry. He didn't have a very good rapport with the players.
No, he did not.
And that's where, again,
I think that's probably a really good thing to follow. And I hope that Davis, but Davis was there. He had a team poised to win the thing.
Mm-hmm.
God bless them. They laid an egg on Sunday.
Yes,
you know, and
big time.
And part of it is the maybe some of the strategy. I thought on Saturday, Davis gave the opening to the Ryder Cup event that year.
Mm-hmm.
Not to lament it, but I still think that if he'd have kept Phil and Keegan out there, the hottest group on the planet that weekend, you're going to get at least a half a point or a point and stop the momentum that they were building.
As we know, you can lose the cup by that much.
And that's what that momentum was the second 18 on Saturday, and we didn't step on their neck per se.
Right.
And that's where maybe that's part of Davis's love culture. You don't get that scenario from Davis that he's kind of that kind of.
Yeah.
So it's going to be exciting. exciting. It's back in the States. I hope to be there, and hopefully if I am there, I'll be calling you to give you some insight
you
on what it's playing.
You will.
Did you realize that they have changed the golf course around at Hazeltine? They reversed
the
finishing. Well, they didn't reverse the nines. They reversed the finishing holes. If you go 16, 17, and 18 at Hazeltine, don't have a lot of room for spectators. Okay, the 16's along the water with the marsh on the back side of the green. There's really no room to the right side. So they flipped it, and the routing is going to be where 7, 8, and 9 will be now is 17, 18. So
good. You'll
see that we mentioned about the stands. It's going to be dynamic the last three holes, and I think this Ryder Cup is going to come down to Sunday singles. In the last three or four groups, I think where typically we see the back end of the team's players being a little less critical to the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like Medina. It's going to be awful critical to the outcome. I think it's going to come down to the last four.
All right, now
four matches.
Here's a question that I think is really interesting with Davis and with this captain's pick he's got to make at the end, and the discussion has been about these four picks that he's got to make. At what point, and I'm going to compare it to USA basketball, what Jerry Colangelo and Coach K did in 2004 when they took over USA basketball, they built a roster of players, and over the years of the Olympics, and they worked in younger guys. We saw it in this year's Olympics. 10 guys out of the 12 had never been to the Olympics.
Correct.
Now, they're all great players, but in that way, you're infusing new blood. You're not just looking at this Olympics. The Ryder Cup, at what point do you say, you know what, Jim Furyk's been great, this one's been great, but I'm putting Daniel Berger on the team. I'm putting younger guys, Justin Thomas.
You're making a great point, and I think that's exactly what needs to happen.
Right.
You made a comment about the stats that show the Ryder Cup rookies and their record. We'll go back to Glenn Eagles. Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed had the best of the showing, and they were both rookies. So those are key things, that continuity, player camaraderie. The mix, you've already got the mix. You got Mickelson's qualified for the team. You've got, Dustin Johnson. Jordan's going to be there.
Right.
Patrick, you've got players who've been there. So, yes, and the looming four other picks, we've got a J.B. Holmes who's played there one time at Valhalla successfully.
And our friend Jeff Babineau made a great point from Golf Week. That's a big ballpark.
Right.
Hazeltine.
And
guys like J.B. Holmes, who's playing great this year,
right? They need to factor in the point. And I think to that point, it's not just this year. It's giving those one or two players. Now we're going to see Koepka's going to be on the team. He's a rookie, so we need to have those guys. And the coaches, the captain's picks have to be a little outside the box.
Right.
Ricky Fowler's on the looming side of that, but I don't know if he's the right pick. Just because he's solid in a lot of aspects, but he hasn't finished very well this year. He didn't finish very well in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah,
what I'm saying. I don't want to say that the size of the moment may overwhelm him because he had a great finish at the Players two
he's
seasons
done
ago.
It. It's just it's
I
been
just don't
a while.
Know if he's right there. His collapse at Bethpage really kind of bothered me.
Yeah, me too.
I thought he kind of showed a little bit more of where his season has been this year. If he'd have finished that off, then he'd have made the team, number one.
Right.
It cost him now. It's Zach Johnson. There's your bulldog. Zach's why is he out there still? He's 39 years old, and he just knows how to get the golf ball in the hole. He's not afraid of anybody.
Right.
And no golf course is too big.
Okay.
For him.
Here's what you were talking about. U.S. captain's picks since 2004.
Right.
Okay. That's 12 years ago. So it's a big sample size.
Yeah, it's
the rookies have been 6, 4, and 5.
Okay.
Veterans, 20, 19, and 11.
Okay.
So it's almost kind of equal there in terms of the rookies and the veterans.
There's no downside.
Since 2010, this is the big one.
Right.
Listen to the difference. Since 2010, the rookies are 22, 17, and 9.
in their matches. The veterans, 31-41-11.
And there you go. As much as Jim Furyk has set the golf world on ear with his 58-59,
yeah,
he doesn't have the game at a golf course as big as
Hazeldene. Right.
He's not a good putter from 10 feet. I don't believe he is. I think there's better putters out there. And part of the Davis's deal is who's the best putters from 10 feet. We need to get guys that are going to be there 2 and 3 and 5 Ryder Cups from now.
Right.
That's a 10-year window.
Yep.
Those give them guys a chance. Daniel Berger, you mentioned, you know, give those guys a chance to see it and experience it. And maybe they don't have to be the centerpiece of it.
Right.
Right. They have their one morning match and maybe one afternoon match.
And then singles.
And they play their singles.
Right.
Or they play, maybe just sit out for one whole day and they play a certain match the next day and they get singles. It works.
Yeah.
And I think those have been proven on the European side. They've had guys sit out the four balls and the foursomes, and then they show up strictly on and they still put wins on the board. So our strategy has to change, and I think in the fusion of young rookie players, and they're no rookies by chance.
Right.
They're strong players.
Yeah.
And Justin Thomas, you mentioned,
had success.
These guys will make that team stronger, not just the year that it's taken place, but for the years to come.
Two Ryder Cups from now and three Ryder Cups from now. I think the solution is to make you the captain of the Ryder Cup.
Just an advisor. I'll take the advisory. We got Tiger on the advisory role this year.
And he's going to be great. Yeah. I think it's awesome.
See how that goes.
All right. Well, thanks. And
call you from the Ryder Cup.
Yes, you will.
All right.
Bye.
See you.
Okay. Well, you know, every week I say it, I'm so blessed by the people I've gotten to know in the world of golf, and this is certainly no exception. I'm possibly her biggest fan. I don't care what anybody else says, but joining us now from Saratoga, New York, Dottie Pepper, good morning, Dottie.
Good morning. You might have to fight with my dad for that.
Well, all right. I'll take second over your dad. By the way, I happen to know this because I'm a stalker of you and I do a lot of research before we talk. But I just saw again, I actually knew this, but your dad was one of Sports Illustrated's rookies to watch the same year as Johnny Bench.
Correct.
He was a baseball player. How cool is that?
It is really cool. I have, a couple of years ago, he gave my sister and I the lineup for the first game that he was called up to the majors in for our Christmas present.
So
pretty cool.
That is awesome. Just awesome. I'll take second. I'll be second to him. You just wrapped up, I think, like around the 28th of August or something. I think I saw a tweet. You just wrapped up your first year with CBS Golf. Let's start there. How was it? You were I talk on the show, Dottie, all the time, and I put on Twitter my thoughts about golf commentary and the way we do golf tournaments and everything, and there are two people that do in all the golf coverage that I watch all year that I wish you and Peter Jacobson could do the golf coverage by yourselves. I'll just say that. I know there are other good people, but that's just my feeling.
Well, I appreciate that. I also, because I know what it's been like since the end of January, I also appreciate this break I'm getting right now. Because I was starting to have those bad golf dreams. I've been living it too long, too many weeks right in a row.
It's kind of staggering the amount of work that I can't even imagine. Vacation's not the word for it after how many events you've done this year.
Yeah, you don't go on vacation. I mean, we're staycationing this weekend.
Oh,
We're doing a wine and food festival and two concerts at the Performing Arts Center.
Awesome.
So that's my meltdown.
But how did the first year go for you? How do you feel like it went?
I had this tag I wanted to hang on to the whole year, and it was called Flexible Confidence. Because I didn't know what I was really getting into. They do golf different at CBS than at ESPN and at NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of new tournaments I'd never been to, let alone golf courses I couldn't find. I had the secretaries in our office were the best. Because it's not finding the golf course, it's finding access to the compound. And
yeah.
sometimes, you know, you could have a volunteer who's been there for 15 years and they have no idea where the television compound is. So that was, you know, part of those things that you just kind of roll with it. And I tried to roll with it. And I felt like once we got to about the memorial, maybe Memphis, I started to kind of find my tempo, my pacing, kind of understand who would say what and when and anticipate and start a conversation. And it all, I thought the second half of the season went a lot better than the first.
Well, I thought you did a great job all year. And it's not an easy job. I think a lot of people think that, you're walking around on the golf course and you've played golf. You were an incredible golfer for years. So how hard could it be? I mean, you see a shot, he's got 162 in and you're out on the course and then you interview somebody. How hard could it be? But it is, it's not as easy as people think it is.
No. And I think what was kind of cool because of the Olympic situation this summer and Ian Baker Finch being down with the Australian team for essentially 3 weeks. And we lost Faldo to Golf Channel for the men's week. That we had some other guys come in, like Luke Elvey and Trevor Immelman, Billy Cratchit, who's done it forever.
Yeah.
But each one of them said, wow, this is a lot harder than I thought. Which made me feel good, I think.
Yeah, it has to make you feel better.
But it is. And it's hard to anticipate a conversation, to start a conversation, to know enough of what a player's gone through leading up to that event, through the event, to not be a stats monger, but also relate what you know they're going through from a competitive standpoint.
Right, right. No, that's a really good point. All right, real quickly, I want to get your thoughts on, because this summer has been insane in terms of golf, and it's not over yet. It's almost over. No. Your thoughts on the Olympics. I thought it was a lot better than I imagined it was going to be, but I would like to see a different format. What do you think?
Agree with you completely.
Well,
I would like to see, yes, I would like to see, and I would like to see somehow that they get a team in there, whether it's mixed team or whatever it is. And I understand that becomes difficult if you're going to add another element, if you're going to qualify individually and make it a mixed team or whatever.
Right.
That it adds more time into missing regular events. Then you know what? Use these next 4 years to figure out a schedule.
See, this is why I love you, because we don't think it's that hard. Just do it. You can do it.
Figure it out.
Right.
You can do it. You get everybody at the same table and lay it all out and look at the 2 months on the one side of it, the 2 months on the other, the major schedules, and figure it out. If you're going to, if golf's going to be good for the Olympics and Olympics good for golf, they got to do something other than a 72-hole stroke play tournament every week on every tour.
Right. Okay. Here's my second thing I want to talk to you about real quickly. And this is not about this summer, but it just hit me because I was following, as I follow you on Twitter, and I saw a discussion that you had, and it's something that became very apparent last week. And I forget who hit the shot. I want to talk to you about this whole divots in the fairway and all that stuff, because I think we disagree about this. I understand your point, but it drives me insane when somebody hits a drive 320 down the middle and it lands in a sand-filled divot. Can't we just drop it? Can't we just take it out and drop it and hit the ball?
Well, the moniker, the complaint is, I hit a good shot. Who said you hit a good shot?
I don't know. If it's me and I hit it down the middle, that's a good shot.
I don't know. I could have necked it. I could have towed it. I could have been trying to hit it up the right side, the left side. Who said you hit a good shot?
This is so good. Well, I think I'm taking it as good shot of where it lands. Even if you towed it or you heeled it or topped it, it landed in the middle of the fairway, however far out there. That's what I would consider a good. I don't know. That whole debate seems to me, it infuriates me that there's nothing we can do about that. Nothing.
Well, here's part of the problem. We don't play on the same surfaces all the time, so you don't replace divot holes in the south because bent grass creeps sideways.
Right.
You actually do yourself a disservice by putting that sort of structure back into a divot hole.
Okay.
So are we going to have rules for different parts of the country or parts of the world? I don't know. The other thing is, if you understand where why the rules of golf were established and what they're overall trying to do, you're trying to take a ball that's out of play and put it back into play. That ball in a divot hole is not out of play.
Hmm. You know what? You're too freaking logical for me.
I'll tell you what, though, the one I would love to see change.
Yeah.
So you drive the ball in a fairway bunker.
Uh-huh.
And you have a divot behind your golf ball.
Okay.
You can't touch that divot.
True.
That, I think, is inherently unfair because somebody didn't at least have the courtesy to grab that divot, and they're probably not going to do it because, oh, now I got to rake the bunker.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That, I think, is really unfair. You've paid the penalty for hitting a crummy shot, and you've put it, you're playing a ball from the hazard. You shouldn't have to play it with a divot hole, or the divot beside it, back of it, front of it, whatever, and not be able to take that out. That, right. I think, is unfair.
All right, well, this is obviously one of the crucial questions in golf that we're going to have to address.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, real quickly, we have the Ryder Cup coming up. Thoughts on the Ryder Cup? Is there any way we can ever win the Ryder Cup again, ever?
Yes, but I think the over-engineering of the picks and
mm-hmm.
not including fall events was a mistake.
Yeah.
I really thought that was a mistake. The one thing I will say that came of the task force, why it needed to be called the task force, I don't know. Why it even needed to be announced, I'm still not sure. And I was on the board at the time. Go back and look at how you manage the players' time throughout the week. And if it's formal dinners and staying in an hour each way from a golf course,
mm-hmm.
if they're asking all these other tertiary things to be expected of the players, why don't we just give them a little more time? Maybe they can chip putt and practice and get some rest and start right there, as mm-hmm. simple as it possibly can be. And that is what came out of it. For starters, the American team is staying a lot closer to the golf course than they were anticipating to stay.
Yeah.
So I think that's very positive. But I love the fact that there are so many rookies.
Yeah, me too. And I would have, if I'm Davis, I'd still pick, I don't know, we could talk about this for a long time, but I'd love to see Justin Thomas or Daniel Berger or one. We got to get some new blood in there somehow. Yeah. So.
And Berger's a baller. I mean, give me the ball, I'm going to get the ball in the hole, and he's got enough confidence to, I don't think, be scared to death standing on that first tee on Friday. I agree. I think those picks without scar tissue are great.
Yeah.
Me, Jim Furyk, no way.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. All right, I have to let you go, but I'm gonna tell you something right now. Are we going till sometime in the middle of October, the end of October with Backspin Golf? I'm going to call you on the last show to wrap up the year for me.
That would be great because we're also going over to Seoul to do the Asia Pacific Amateur, and we'll know who's going to the Masters.
Oh,
there.
This is awesome.
See?
Okay. Well, I love you. I'll say it on the air. I love,
love
you.
You too.
Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great rest of your stay vacation.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Well, I'm really excited. A few weeks ago on this show, we've had people on from the Netherlands, from all over Canada, from our reach extends quite far. And a few weeks ago, our pal, Michael Gallagher, from Northern Ireland, joined us on the show to talk about the 2016 Apple Green Low Fuel Card Irish Junior Open Series. And we talked about the events that were coming up this summer and had just a wonderful time with him. We just finished up with the Junior Open Series, and Michael is joining me right now on Backspin Golf all the way from Ireland. And thank you so much for joining me, my friend. And I wish I could be sitting next to you doing this interview.
Thanks a million, Matthew. And thanks to you all at Backspin Golf for having me on again.
Well, let's start right away. Now, for those of you that missed the first conversation Michael and I had, why don't you just familiarize everybody here with what this Junior Open Series was. It's the largest in Europe. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, basically, Matthew, the Irish Junior Open came about 3 years ago now. It was just... it was one of them things that I just I took a brainstorm one day after being at the European Tours Irish Open and just seeing the pros that day. I just thought to myself, I wonder if there's a junior golf event that would you know, replicate this in Ireland. And having found out there wasn't, I then went about starting my own. I would classify my events as professional junior events. I basically try to run them like a professional tournament for the kids. And I feel that's where the series has came about. It was one event for 2 years until I found the correct formula. And having found the correct formula, I then rolled it out to 5 events this year. This was the first year that the Irish Junior Open Series was formed. And thanks to Apple Green Low Fuel Card for coming on board as the main sponsor. I also had over 30 sponsors, you know, from partner sponsors right through to T-Box sponsors. And, you know, these events, they just don't happen without them kind of
yeah,
sponsors. So
that's right.
It's great, you know, that they all came on board and showed the support. And, you know, the golf was spectacular. I had competitors from the ages of 6 right through to 18. And at the final, not to do the younger ones out of anything, I had an under-5 putting competition at the final. So I had a few younger ones coming and trying to play for the under-5 title. So, you know, it was a very eventful summer. We traveled the length and breadth of Ireland, thanks to my family for their support and helping me out, and also my good friend Bart O'Brien. So, you know, we traveled the country and seen lots of nice places, met lots of nice people, and the support was magnificent. There was nearly 800 competitors playing, you know, throughout the series, which, you know, totally blew me away. The support, and you know, it was a very eventful summer, and with the feedback that I received, I feel we did it justice in its first year, and I have big plans for the future. So it's only going to go one way.
Yeah, and everything that I read, excuse me, because we certainly kept up with it all summer. Everything that I read as it concluded was just, I'm not surprised, but people were blown away by the whole series and the way that the events were run. But, you know, we should mention that you're obviously a PGA professional at Clandeboy Golf Club, but you're also the UK and Ireland junior golf coach and the PGA assistant professional of the year. Your involvement, not only, you know, you and I were joking before we went on the air about you helping me with my game, but your interest and passion for teaching kids this incredible game. All of us here in this country have seen the video of Rory McIlroy when he was a little kid playing golf. And yes. That's your passion. And to put all of these together in the way that you did, we should mention, and I want you to tell me how you choose the champion golfer of the year, which is awesome that you call him that, is a young man named Sean Ryan, who I think is 9. And
yes.
I saw a video of him. What an incredible kid. How did you get to him as the champion golfer of the year?
Well, in running the 5 event series, I wanted to have an overall winner. Obviously, at each event, there's the provincial events, which they'll have the provincial champions, and then the overall, the finale, which was played on my home course a couple of weeks ago, Killiemoon Golf Club, or my former home course, I should say.
Right, yeah.
But basically, I wanted to have an overall series winner, somebody that stood out along the series and, you know, performed golf, which was fitting of the overall title, which I believe is in terms of size is the largest junior trophy in golf. It's almost the size of Sean.
It is.
it was It was a large trophy, which was befitting on Sean. Sean, I've known this couple of years, and Sean is somebody I feel who's progressing nicely in the game. I feel Sean has a very bright future. But getting back to your question, I wanted to have an overall winner, and having seen the Open Championship, which obviously is beamed around the world, the overall winner of the Open Championship is the Champion Golfer of the Year. So I thought, you know, if it works for the Open Championship, it's going to work for the Irish Junior Open Series. So yeah, that's where I came about the name, the overall Champion Golfer of the Year. You know, so Sean, at 9 years of age, went into the final event, having led pretty much most of the series, went into the last event, actually coming second position. So he needed a strong finish, and getting off to a bad start in his final round, his dad was telling me that, you know, the head was down, and he thought, you know, he had blown it. But in champion fashion, he came through in the end with a birdie in the last hole, to win the overall series by a few points. Mm. Which leads me back to an old saying I heard years ago, come with the hour, come with the man. Which I feel in Sean's predicament that day, you know, needing a birdie in the last hole, it was something that was befitting of the overall winner. And in his first year, to have it go down to the last putt on the last green on the last day, which, you know, it was the stuff of
Hollywood. It was the stuff of Hollywood. You kind of can't make that up. And he's an amazing young man. I saw the video of him speaking afterwards, and it's something that as old as I am and as many years as I've played, Michael, I can't tell you how it affected me, because all of us that play to varying degrees get down on ourselves, and we hit a bad shot and we get upset. And Sean's advice and what he said was to have fun. And I know he's 9. I have a 9-year-old, but it's a very profound statement as it applies to golf. And it really made an impact on me, the things that this 9-year-old lad said all the way from Ireland.
Yeah, no, that was Sean's philosophy throughout the whole series. You know, he got quite a lot of media attention in Ireland here. The TV companies were very supportive of the events. And it drew a lot of attention throughout the media and social media and everything else. But Sean, like, you know, for a 9-year-old, you know, that's the right attitude to have. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen over the years a lot of adults and children, you know, getting down on themselves and throwing clubs, and even professionals for that.
Oh yeah.
For that, you know, we'll not mention any names, but but you know, like that is a good attitude to have, and you know, that will stand him in good stead going forward. Sean's a very easygoing 9-year-old, and who I feel like I've been saying this for a number of years to anybody that would listen to me. You know, he hadn't performed well the first few years playing in my event, and I always was saying, you know, Sean has the potential to go far in this game. Now, we all know things can, you know, change going forward in life. People can have different priorities. But I feel if Sean devotes his attention to golf, he's as strong a golfer as I've ever, you know, witnessed. And I've witnessed, you know, I've witnessed many of the world's great players standing on the practice ground at Open Championships and Irish Opens and European Opens and Ryder Cups, for that matter. And I feel at 9 years of age, Sean has the potential to really, really go far in this game. And I hope he does, because he is a nice young fella, and his family are lovely people too. And, you know, I think they just, you know, hopefully he can go on and do big things in the game and look back on this as a stepping stone to bigger things, as a lot of the competitors play in the events. You know, I'm hoping a lot of them can go on and do big things and you know, turn around and thank me in the long run for providing a series for them to gain experience and, you know, grow going forward in the game.
Yep, absolutely. And as I said at the beginning of this, your passion for teaching and helping kids learn the game of golf, and we all know the implications in your life when you play golf, it has far-reaching effects other than just being on a golf course. It helps with a lot of those things for young kids. Before I let you go, a couple of things. I know I'm so happy that I got to meet you through MPD Custom Golf, which is a company I work with, and we were very proud to provide some bags for the Junior Open series, and we want to thank you for showing everybody that was involved with this the great products we have. But I want to get your quick thoughts just in a minute or two, because we have the Ryder Cup coming up, and you know, you guys, you got to stop beating the United States. It's not good for the game. You got to let up on us.
Well, I think if you actually look at the overall series.
But that doesn't count, Michael. That's from like 40 years ago. We don't care about that. You've been beating us up.
I know, but you know what? I hope we continue to beat you up. No, just getting back there to your custom golf bikes from MPD Custom Golf. You know, I greatly appreciated off them bikes. They were, like, I'm obviously going to say this, but, you know, taking my Irish Junior Open hat off and speaking from a professional hat, they're as good a golf bike as I've ever seen. You know, the quality of them. Michael Davis, who kindly, you know, your business partner, who kindly got in contact with me and agreed to the sponsoring of them. You know, he told me how good they were, and I was like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. But having seen them firsthand, I've gotten two myself, so that speaks a lot. But they're amazing golf bikes, and I thank you guys for your support. And on that note, I actually want to thank you for supporting the next event that I'm running. This will be an exclusive for you, because when this is aired, nobody will have known about the tournament. But I'm actually running a winter series event at my new home club, Clondeboy Golf Club, which we have two fantastic golf courses here. One of them is one of the top championship golf courses in Ireland, the Dufferin.
Yep.
And we also have what I would consider the best heathland course in Ireland, the Ava, which is where the winter series is going to be on Halloween Day, the 31st of October.
Awesome.
So yeah, you know, we're going to be playing it on the Ava, as it's a shorter course for the younger competitors. So next year we'll get some of the golf onto the Dufferin course, but we're going to be playing on the Ava, which will be, you know, as I said, it's going to be a fantastic experience for anybody that comes and plays in the event. It's my first time I'm running an event in the winter, so it'll be a day where we'll hopefully not have to wear too many of our winter garments.
Well, I know it's going to be great, and thank you so much for spending some time this morning. And I'm always amazed that we can talk from such a great distance. And I'll be back in touch with you very soon. And congratulations again on a fantastic event and for the things you do for golf.
Thanks a million, Matthew. And thanks again at ESPN for your support.
Okay. Take care, my friend. Wow. What a great show. That'll do it for this edition of Backspin Golf on this September 11th. Again, let's take a moment today to just pause and reflect and send out some good thoughts to those that lost people on 9/11 15 years ago. But then I hope you get out and play some golf today. I'm going to. I want to thank our guests, obviously Michael Gallagher, the great Dottie Pepper, and Perry French, and our partners, French Lick Resort, Griffin Gate, Edwin Watts Golf, Lexington Parks and Rec, and Man of War Golf. And we'll see you all next week at 8:03 right here for Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.